Morning, everyone. If you will turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, that is our text today. It's so good to see you. I hope you've had a great week and weekend. It's always a joy to be here at First Baptist on the Square. God is doing some incredible things in our lives, in our church, and we're trusting Him for even greater things in the future by faith, which is what we're going to talk about today in Hebrews chapter 11. If it's your first time with us, we've come to the conclusion of this series called Deeper. We're taking a deeper look at some familiar passages. We've looked at passages like John 3:16 and Psalm 23 and the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And today we come to Hebrews chapter 11, what some call God's Hall of Faith. It lists here some of the heroes of the Old Testament, describes how they lived by faith. And I want us to look today at the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by this our ancestors were approved. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. The author, who is unknown, in his letter here was trying to persuade some early believers to hold on to their faith, to not lose heart. The previous chapters that lead up to chapter 11 reveal that these early believers were tempted to return to Judaism. They were losing confidence in the invisible things that make up faith. And here is a key thing to understand today. They were looking to the past, losing hope in the present, or about the future, because of their difficulty in the present. So again, they were looking to the past, losing hope about the future because of the difficulty in the present. And I'm sure many of us can relate to that today. We look back at yesteryear and we think how it was better. It was better for us in our personal faith. It was better for us in our family. Perhaps it was better as our church was in whatever intimation it was years ago, and we look back to yesteryear, longing for the past, and because the present is not what we hoped it would be, the retirement didn't play out, the health didn't fall in line with your life plans, whatever it is that caused a bit of disaster in your life, that present circumstance makes you look back instead of dreaming about what God has for the future. And life gets challenging like that. And we have a hard time seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, don't we? Right in the midst of the darkness and the chaos of life, we're looking for that light at the end of the tunnel, and it's the proverbial train, right? It feels like that's the next thing to hit us. I mean, life gets bad, and sometimes it gets even worse. And we can't believe in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the fog of life, that God does indeed have a plan for us, that God is working something beautiful, and He has a purpose. We can't imagine the good future God has because of what we have in the present. I was thinking about how my son, who's now married and lives away, how much I miss our evenings when we would play video games. I know that sounds like I'm just a big kid, because I am just a big kid, but nonetheless, we would play video games most nights of the week. And it got very, very ugly and competitive because we played sports games. Whatever season was in, baseball, basketball, football's in American football. There's no other football. We didn't play soccer because we liked real sports. But anyway, sorry. I'm just joking. If your grandkid's the best soccer player in the world, I'm sure he's great. I'll never watch him. But anyway, so we play these video games, and nowadays the graphics are incredible, right? If you have kids or grandkids, or maybe you play some kind of video game, it's amazing the video graphics of games today. And we would play these sports games, and it was like just about as close as you could get to real life. And then one Christmas, we got these goggle things because we didn't look crazy enough in life. We needed to stick that on our faces, so we put these goggles on, and it's just blacked out on the other side, so you can't see what's really happening in the world. But this virtual reality, this universe you enter into as everything becomes three-dimensional and you get immersed in these video games. And it's really remarkable what's happening today in that world and what's predicted to come in the future. But at my age, I look back, I had the joy of coming in to the era of video games. So back in the day, Matthew, you won't recognize this, but Atari 2600. I mean, it was incredible. We would plug that thing into the TV and switch a couple of things, and Pac-Man would come on the screen. But even before that, we had one of these. I have a picture because you probably can't see it, but this was my first video game system right here. And some of you recognize this. Your kids have one, but you have this little red dash on the screen that's your offensive football player, and the other dashes are the defenses, and you got to move your dash without hitting the other dashes. Hey, y'all, hold on. This is actually kind of fun. Just give me a minute here. But it was amazing. And when you scored a touchdown, it went do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and it was like the most amazing sound ever, and it drove my mom crazy and all of that, but it was incredible back then. We couldn't imagine anything better, but then we look to today and we look back at how that was nothing compared to where we are today, and we think about what is to come. Listen, in your faith, you may look at your life today and you say, well, I've come a long way, or maybe you think it was better the way it was, and the evolution of time, God is working and moving and crafting and doing more and more amazing things, and I want us to discover that today by faith, what God wants to do in your life, what God wants to do in your church. And just like when I played that game, I couldn't imagine what was to come. Today, to understand and believe that God has something for you that you cannot even begin to imagine. And if we will get excited and focused and locked in by faith to what God wants, we will never believe all that God is going to do in our midst. Hebrews chapter 11 is all about encouraging us to hold on because God's future for us is so amazing. Now, that was a challenge to these ancient believers. It's a challenge to us today to not shrink back in our faith. Look again at verse 1. It says now. That's the beginning word there. It could be translated for. It's connecting us to the last verse of chapter 10. In light of the last verse of chapter 10, the writer says now or for. But what does he say there? In chapter 10, verse 39, we are not like those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. Today, I want us to not draw back, to not look at the evils and problems of the world and shrink back in fear and just surrender in our faith, but to believe God has great things in store. To not look at our present circumstances, as bad as they may be and as painful as the experience might be at this moment, but to believe God has something more for the future. We will not shrink back. It's important to take this mindset because we want to shrink back by nature. We want things to be predictable. Why we say we want a dynamic experience with God and worship and in our church, but in day-to-day experience, we do kind of rest in the comfort of the predictable. We do in our lives like to know that things are not out of control and beyond our control, but instead have a rhythm to life, and we want to live by faith, but a faith that doesn't change a whole lot in our lives. And we end up missing the blessings of God. We fail to embrace the promises of God. Life gets hard, things get difficult, and we retreat back, we get discouraged, and life gets scary, and we want safety, we want security. I wonder today how many of us in this room have been shrinking back. You're not where you were. Your faith is not as strong as it's once been. We're not as bold, perhaps, as a church and going forth with the light of the gospel to a lost world, but instead just shrinking back into the four walls of the church. Have you lost ambition and boldness in your relationship with God? Today, I want you to consider the nature of your faith as we look at three things in our passage today. First of all, number one, faith believes the future belongs to God. True faith in God understands that the future is His. Now, a hard concept to wrap your mind around is that God is outside of time. We look at things in the course of time. My present circumstance, how bad or good my past situation once was. We wonder what is coming around the bend tomorrow. But to understand today, theologically, God is not bound by time. It's kind of like a preacher who was trying to understand this concept, and he was praying to the Lord as he was reflecting that God is not bound by time, and he prayed. He said, God, what is a million years to you? And he felt this prompting, this conviction of God come back to him when he asked, God, what is a million years to you? And he heard this response from God, oh, it's like a second, my child. And the preacher thought, a million years to God is like 1 second. And he prayed further. He said, God, what is $1 million to you? And he felt the response come back, oh, my child, it's but like a penny. And the preacher thought, well, if 1 million years is like a second and $1 million is like a penny, he prayed again. He said, God, can I have one of your pennies? And then he heard the reply, yes, my son, wait just a second. God created time. He is timeless. He sees and knows the present, the past, the future, everything in between. Isaiah 46, verse 10. I declare the end from the beginning and from long ago what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place and I will do all my will. God knows all the events of the future, even the infinitely long eternal future. God understands it all. Now, while this is impossible for our finite minds to comprehend, it does give us today great confidence that God is not blindsided by things that come. God is not ignorant of our situation. God does not fail to comprehend the solution to your struggle. The same God who declares that he is with you now is also completely present and in control of your future. What a great hope today. God is there. God knows. God sees. He's outside of time. He understands and knows the solution to every circumstance of your life. So understand, our faith is not man-centered. We do not have faith in the future because of our own strength, our cleverness, our worldly wisdom, our know-how to get through and navigate all the things of life. We are sure instead of what we do not see. We do not physically see God. We do not physically see the future, but our confidence can still be strong and our hope can remain when we place our faith in God's person and not in our circumstances. You see, we read that faith is being sure. This is translated from a word in the original language that refers to the essence, the real content, the reality, as opposed to the mere appearance. It speaks of God being so real to you that your relationship with him is more real than what you see around you. You recognize the tangible material world with your eyes, but you recognize there is something greater and even more real than the material world, the one who created this world. Your faith drives you to believe beyond what you can see to the point it is a reality in your life, not just a possibility, not just some thing in the sky, but a real and personal and intimate God in your life. You see, faith is believing God even when you can't see him. Verse 3 does speak of how we can see the evidence of God as we look at creation, but what about when you can't see him? What about when it's hard and dark and confusing in life? Faith is holding on to the promises even in the pain of the present. It's exactly what Paul meant in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he said this beginning in verse 16. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen. As the writer of Hebrews says, this present experience. We don't focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Number one today, faith believes the future belongs to God. Number two, faith does not mean life is without struggles. One of the biggest lies you can believe, propagated by the prosperity gospel, is that being a good Christian means life is going to go well for you. That the more you live for God, the stronger your faith is, the greater your devotion to God, the smoother you will sail through life. I have people often ask me, Marty, why do bad things keep happening to me? What is it I'm doing wrong in my life? Perhaps nothing. As a matter of fact, it might be the result of your life being lived for God that troubles are coming upon you in life. The good things you're doing may be bringing the pain in your life. Christians living for Jesus and expressing great levels of faith will face hardship and difficulty. After the author moves through all the great examples of people of faith that we focus on, the wonderful stories of all those who we hit the highlight reel of their faith, look down at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35. Other people were tortured, not accepting release so that they might gain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings, scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. We think of persecution as walking into a store at the holidays and somebody wishing us happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Oh, the persecution. We feel so thrown back when difficulty comes our way in life in some form. These people were being sawed in half. This wasn't like an act on America's Got Talent. I mean, this wasn't that kind of thing. They were being persecuted and killed for their faith. So today, if you think living for the Lord means you're going to be happy, wealthy, healthy, and wise, that is not the picture of Scripture. You need to rethink some things. So we would look at that reality and say, you mean I could be stoned for my faith? I could be sawed in two? I could be destitute and afflicted? Why would I even bother with faith? That doesn't seem like a logical decision. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief and various trials so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire. So, as we go through these experiences, as God works in them, as the carnal person is shaved and shattered and pulled away from us, our faith shines forth like gold of incredible value, that it may result in, listen to this, praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why do we do these things? Why do we endure hardship in this life? How do we hold out faith instead of shrinking back? For praise and glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him. And you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We recognize it's going to get better. It's going to be resolved as we press through all this. Coming in the future is the salvation of our souls, and we are sure, it says, of what we hope for. We go through the difficult journey, wondering if we're going to make it, but knowing that we will, by faith, receive the fullness of our salvation. Yesterday, I was reflecting on this as we were making our way from Demarest, Georgia to LaGrange. And I had the opportunity to go shoot some birds yesterday. So that, if you're an animal lover, I'm sorry, but we shot birds. But it was great. We went out and hunted quail. And on the way down, you never know what you're going to hit in Atlanta. And we set the timer just right. The map said we were going to get here at the right time to meet up with the folks that went hunting, and as we started journeying, the little timer on the map bumped 10 minutes. Then we ride a little longer, and it would bump 15 minutes later and 20 minutes later, and I thought, I'm going to miss this quail hunt. And we went through all that struggle, and the more that recalculated, the harder my foot went down on the gas. We just kept speeding up. Never broke the speed limit, trust me, I never did that. But as we were driving, I started wondering, through all that traffic and all the chaos and all the mess and muck of dealing with Atlanta traffic, we made it glorious through to the other side and made it right in the split of time and went hunting. And I'm proud to tell you that I shot every bird that flew up. The other guys in the group didn't hit one. I shot all of them. So don't ask around. Just trust me on that. Walt was there. He hit a bunch of them, but it's only because he was channeling my shooting through his gun. That's why all that credit goes to me. But I tell you that to say, as a really just simplistic illustration, that we navigate and struggle and strive and we feel like we're just not going to make it to the end. But then as we press through all that hardship, as we endure persecution, as our lives get flipped upside down and spun all around and it feels like we can't see hope and we can't find the end, we can't find the outcome that is going to result in the good things of life and the good relationship with God, one day we'll break through all that darkness and fog and uncertainty to the salvation of our souls. So friend, hold on today, knowing that life is not without struggles. Greater faith doesn't make the bad stuff go away. It gives us hope in it. So as you're going through your dark struggle right now, as you're looking out in front of you and you don't see hope, you don't see an end, you don't see a good outcome, believe that God is working in your life and all this is going to come to pass because God is present. In both past and present and future, all the experiences and timeline of your life. And in the midst of your struggles, God is working and bringing a glorious outcome. Then finally, number three, note that faith is acting on what you claim to believe. Faith is acting on what you claim to believe. Verse 2 in Hebrews 11 tells us that the ancients were commended for their faith. They acted on what they claimed to believe. Their belief, it says, was put on full display. And we have these amazing people listed for us in our passage. And Goody read some of those a moment ago, but examples like Noah and Abraham and Moses and on this list goes. People who didn't just claim to have faith, they exhibited faith. They put their faith into action. What James 2 tells us, what good is it if someone claims to have faith but has no works? Can that kind of faith save a person? Faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. True faith always results in actions. As the well-worn statement goes, but it's certainly true, you don't just talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. That's what James would tell us today. Listed in chapter 11 are these amazing expressions of faith from some of the greatest followers of God who ever lived. Their greatness of faith is not because of just knowledge they possessed, talk they put forth, but action that they took, things they did for the glory of God. Take Noah, for example. Here was a man who was called of God to preach to a world that was so depraved that in Genesis 6:6 it said this, "The Lord regretted that he made man on earth, and he was deeply grieved." What a horrible environment. But yet God called Noah to go and preach to that situation. Now, God tells Noah that it's going to flood. But the reality is that Noah really had no concept of floods, no context in which rain would fall from the sky. It was a much different environment in that day and time. And it's possible that Noah had no understanding whatsoever of what a boat would even look like, how to construct one. Certainly not a gigantic ark. But Noah believed God and he acted on his instructions. He had both assurance and conviction, which is true faith. He believed, and that belief led to action, because true faith is always expressed in action. It has courage. It believes great things. It pursues great things. Listen, we're at a fork in the road as a church. And as Yogi Berra says, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Well, you know, you got to choose the right way. And we're this fork in the road. As we come to 2023 in a church without a pastor, what does the future hold? What's next? A crossroads, a crisis of belief as to what we hold to and the things that matter the most and where we're headed in the future. And I hope today you believe by faith in the great things God is going to do, because I believe by faith for you. I've had the most remarkable experience being a part of First Baptist on the Square over these past months. God is working. God has assembled here a group of people with the abilities, with the resources, with the devotion to Christ to turn this community and beyond upside down for the glory of God. And I hope you believe that with all your heart today. And we may be praying and searching and understanding the application of that and how it needs to play out in programs and ministries and structure and all that stuff to come. But to know today God is working, and to know that our faith and the promises that God has given to us leads us to action, that it eliminates pessimism. Listen, there can always be things that need to be changed in the church. We've talked about that before. And we could sit back today and say, yeah, great things to come, but if it were like it was once before, how we used to do it, that era of time when it meant the most to me, if we could just pause everything and not have it be too cumbersome upon my life and the expectations of my service and the giving of my resources, then, look, I can live with that. But all this aggressive push forward and what supposedly God is calling us to, many of us today, we get really unsettled with that, don't we? We like to have it predictable. We like to know what's next and to keep it from getting kind of out from under us. We want faith that is simple and not disruptive. But I tell you this, God wants to do a work at First Baptist Church on the Square that will make us quite unsettled. It'll make our eyes spin. We'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo, because we're going to look out and we're going to see God moving in all these ways, people getting baptized, things just looking amazing as God is working. It's going to be astounding if we believe by faith and put our faith into action to believe God for great things. Are you believing God for great things today? Let's think about your faith for a moment. Is the stress of life causing your faith to diminish? Have you lost sight of the promises of God? Have you stopped believing God for great things? Are you struggling to get excited about what God wants to do in our church and where He is leading us? Today, you need to exercise some faith. You need to take a step of faith. And you know, faith, we said, is always going to lead us to action. So maybe you need to serve in some capacity. Maybe you need to begin giving sacrificially. Perhaps in your life you need to repent over worry and memorize some verses about God's promises. As you think about where you are in relationship to your faith, are you shrinking back, or is God moving in your heart where you're boldly believing by faith that God is working today and will continue to do so tomorrow? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, and you need to take hold of faith and you need to become a born-again Christian. God has given to us the capacity for faith. He's created us to be people of faith who believe in Him, walk with Him, who trust in Him. So let's do that right now. As we pray together, let's commit ourselves to have greater faith and trust in God. Our Father, we thank You for today. Thank You for the opportunity to look to Your Word to inspire us, to guide us. It is Your Word that teaches us how to live. And Father, as we think about our faith today, there may be some who need to trust Christ and receive Him as Savior and Lord. I pray that they would do that by repenting of their sin, believing that Christ died for them and has risen from the dead. And it's my prayer that they would make a decision for Christ today. For others, they need to take a step of bold faith, believing, trusting, looking to the future, not shrinking back in the faith. As we look at these early believers, in the midst of all their struggles, we note how many of them were contemplating returning to their former faith. Many of them were retreating back. But Lord, we thank You for the great call that comes today to stand our ground, to gain ground, to press forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to make commitment today to be a part of Your work, to put our faith in action, even when we don't feel like it, even when it's not the right season of life, even, Father, when we have struggles and pain and difficulty, we can't see clearly, we don't know the answers to our struggles. May we be found faithful today as we commit ourselves to press forward and walk with you and trust in you. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I believe God will prompt your heart and guide you by the Holy Spirit. All types of decisions that need to be made for the Lord today, some who need to trust Christ, others who need to recommit their lives, some who need to put faith in action, not just talking about what they believe, but exhibiting faith by what you do in serving God. As God guides you and speaks to you, respond to Him today. Father, we commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. As Anthony comes to lead us, if God is leading you to make a decision, I'll be waiting here at the front for you, as will Brother Tom. We're ready to receive you. Let's make commitment today to live by faith, to believe God for great things, and to now make the decision to put our faith into action. As God's